tonight and the prayer that's been offered and desire and interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn to our text, you'll find it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, I got a lot of favorite passages and chapters in the Bible, but this just happens to be one of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read the first four verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. I guess the takeaway from what we want to speak tonight is the things that the Spirit led Paul to tell us that he was remembering without ceasing, that proved to him their election of God. This chapter is only 10 verses, but what a message, what a testimony from a New Testament church of how they were conducting themselves, the good remembrance Paul had of them, and how they turned to God from idols. Like he says in verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now that pretty much sums it up right there. They turned to God from idols. To serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There's so many good thoughts in just that. But I want to get back to what Paul was saying about what it was that he was remembering without ceasing. And there's been times in the past when I've preached this as, you know, if you want to follow a good model for a New Testament church, then look to the church of Thessalonica. You know, they had that pilgrim perspective. Every chapter, 1 Thessalonians, every chapter in 2 Thessalonians, the second coming of the Lord is mentioned. Oh, that we could bear that in mind all the time. And I suspect we do, but perhaps we could think about it a little bit more than we do. That the Lord is coming. And someday, we're not going to have to worry about all the foolishness that we're hearing about in the world today. Someday, all that stuff will be left behind. And not only all of those things, but all of the sorrows and the heartaches and the disappointments and the struggles and the pain and the tears and the saying goodbye, all of those things, they're going to be left behind. And how wonderful that when Jesus comes again, he's going to gather up everyone for whom he died. We're going to meet him in the air, And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But he hasn't come back yet. And so each day, then we've got things to do. Each day, we can remember what he's done for us, our security and those things that we've talked about, and the hope that we have that someday when he comes back, we'll be taken home with him to sing his praises forevermore. And whatever limitations we may have had of heart and voice here will not apply in heaven's pure world. You know, some of you knew Bill Deloney over at the Ozark Church, and I was exhorting the folks over there to sing out more, to sing more. And Brother Bill said, "Preacher, you don't want me to sing. I sound horrible." I said, "Well, we can all make a joyful noise." But bless your hearts, we won't have those limitations. We won't have those imperfections in heaven's pure world. Isn't that something to look forward to? All right, remembering without ceasing. Now, that wasn't Paul's opinion. That was the leadership of the Holy Spirit pressed upon him saying that. All right? So what was it that he was remembering? All right? First of all, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Well, that's a good evidence already that here's a New Testament church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's work of faith, because it's of faith, because it has to be that way. If it was just the natural man, they would never be doing those kinds of works. And so because we are born of the Spirit of God, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, because he has given us faith, then we can do works of the faith, right? You know, that just sounds so simple to me, but it seems like it gets complicated with some folks. You know, if they want to lay it to believing and making a commitment and doing this and doing that so that they come to that place where they can, bless your hearts, isn't it a joy just to understand that when we're born of the Spirit of God, that he plants within us what we need. Now, we don't become robots, but Philippians chapter 2 does tell us that he is, when Paul's writing to the church of Philippi, he says, work out your own salvation. We're not preaching a works doctrine now, are we? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Without him working in us those things, man by nature would never seek after God, would never love God, would never try to do anything pleasing to God. As a matter of fact, without the Spirit of God in him, he's doing everything he can to stay away from God. But bless your hearts, if one's doing works of faith, work of faith, then that faith is dwelling in them, working in them, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That new creature has a desire within him. Now, I wish that the old man would be eradicated, don't you? I wish we didn't have to worry about that conflict that we have between the flesh and the spirit. But we do. And we're going to have to deal with that as long as we draw our breath here in this life. But bless your hearts, there's a new creature within us. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he's not saying that we don't have the passions and the struggles of the old man, but what he is saying is we have a new heart. We have a new eyesight. We have new hearing. We have new tastes. We have new desires from that new creature within us. A desire, well, he gives us a love. That love that we have for God is because he first loved us. And so we have a love for God. We have a desire to please God. Bless your hearts as we think about all that he gives us in the new birth. And then, as Peter said, we're to grow. We're, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And so the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the more we're equipped to do that work of faith. But again, it never happens without God blessing us with faith. That's what enabled them to turn to God from idols. I mean, that's the work of faith right there, isn't it? They wouldn't have had that desire, no matter how persuasive preaching might be. It had to be in the heart to actually turn to God, have that desire to turn to God from idols. You know, don't you know it would have been interesting to have lived? What a blessing. Grasping for the word. What a blessing that would have been to have been in the presence of how God through the Spirit worked in Paul in preaching to those brethren who turned from idols. I mean, those who had been worshiping idols. You know, there's a lot of idols today, but I don't know of any graven images or those kinds of things, or things that they actually had, silversmiths and those who had crafted those idols and were selling them and making their living from those things that they were making, the goddess Diana and so forth, and how they turned from those things. That must have been a joy to behold. And there were those that turned to God from those things to serve the one true and living God. And so as they continued that work of faith, it would manifest itself in many ways, wouldn't it? Loving God, loving one another, trusting God. All those things that began to be manifested because of the love that God had placed in their hearts. Work of faith. All right? Now, the next thing he said that he remembered without ceasing was their labor of love. But now, wait a minute. Isn't work and labor the same thing? Well, sometimes. To some extent. But if you look at the meaning there, instead of just the energy or the effort from the work, that labor of love has the idea of toil, travail, something that continues. You know, when a woman goes into labor, or when a woman's about to have a child, we don't say that she's going to work, right? We say she's going into labor. And that word there carries the idea of not so much the work, but the weariness, the labor that's involved in that. Now, labor of love, I'm not saying is always weary, but it's something that continues. It's something that you continue to show forth because you love somebody, okay? Whether it's continuing a good thing or whether it's bearing with someone because you love them. So that labor of love, and because you love them, you're willing to put forth that effort. Well, listen, I can't think of a better example to remember than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all that he suffered on our behalf to save us from our sins. And I tell you, that ought to fuel our desire to reflect, since he's given us his love, then that ought to fuel our desire to reflect that love to others. There's no better reason to show our love to God and show our love to others than remembering what our Lord has done for us. And then to take that he's given us by his grace, by his mercy, and show that love to others. And I love to think about that subject of love and how that if you want more of it, if you want more love, give it away. The more you give it away, the more you'll experience for yourself. Labor of love. You know, the continuation of it, continuing in it, continuing to manifest it. I mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17 a while ago when Paul was speaking about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But a few verses ahead of that, in verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all." Now, you understand that all there is all that's under consideration. Okay, all that he died for. We're not talking about the human race, but all that he died for. "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That should be our greatest motivation. Because of what he has done for us. Because he died for us. Bless your hearts, we want to please him and live for him. Labor of love. It all goes back to the fact that he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. All right? But that work of faith and labor of love. The love of Christ constrains us. When we remember what he's done for us, we want to live for him. Okay? Then patience of hope. Patience of hope. You know, there's a couple of words in the New Testament that we're given that embodies the idea of patience. Long-suffering is a word that really speaks to the idea of being patient with people. You know, if you love somebody, you'll suffer long with them. And I would encourage you to, and I'm sure you do, but I would encourage you to remember, how many times has God been long-suffering with us? And how many times do you suppose he'll continue to be long-suffering with us as long as we live? I tell you, the longer I live, the more I appreciate the long-suffering of God. Because I fail him so many times. I come short so many ways. But God is always there for us. His love for us, for Christ's sake. And so as we think about this patience, there's long suffering that talks about patience with people, but patience, the word patience, oftentimes has more to do with circumstances, trials and tribulations that we go through, and being patient in those things. And it often involves people, but the trials and tribulations that we need to be patient with, if we just remember all that our Lord suffered for us, it'll help us. If we remember all that he's forgiven us, it'll help us to be more patient as we go. As we remember, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It'll help us to be more patient in our trials. Sometimes we get busy, sometimes we get frustrated, sometimes things not working out like we want, and we forget to look to the Lord, ask for his help, ask for his guidance, and to help us to have the patience that we need to get through whatever we're facing and the frustrations of it. So, patience. But he says patience of hope. Now, hope is that which dwells within the heaven-born child. You know, our hope is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's not just a wish, is it? You know, oftentimes we use the illustration that we hope we'll make it home okay. Or we hope this, or we hope that. And that's just a simple expectation, hoping that something's going to occur in a certain way. But bless your hearts, our hope in this life and our hope of heaven, again, it's not something that the natural man can manufacture. But it's because of what dwells within us. Because we've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Because we know something about his word that we can never be separated from. Because of all that he's done for us. Bless your hearts. We know that God doesn't start loving and quit. That we're his child. And he's taking care of us. We'll always be his child. There may be times when he may not be pleased with something that we do, but we'll never not be his child. Heaven will be our home. And bless your hearts, as we think about that, he says the patience of hope. The patience. Now, if you look up hope, some would define it as a desire of some good with expectation to obtain it. Well, if we take that and line it up with the Word of God, then he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He sent Christ into this world to save us from our sins. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. You hear the constant there? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. And so because of all of this, that's our expectation. If we're blessed to know him, if we're blessed to love him, it's because he first loved us. It's because he's done those things for us. And nothing can separate us from it. Heaven will be our home. Bless your hearts, because of what he has done for us. You know, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. In other words, it gets weak. Okay? Have you ever lost hope in something? Maybe there was something that you were really working hard toward, or maybe there was something that you were really expecting to happen and looking forward to it, and something changed and you just lost hope. If you've been there, then you know how weakened that makes you. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And that's a beautiful picture. Because when that hope deferred, when you have lost that desire, whatever that desire was, whatever that hope was, whatever that desire and expectation was, when you lost it, you were weakened by it. Makes the heart sick. But when desire cometh. And I tell you, I'm sure there's been times in your life when the Lord has smiled upon you and brought you through something that you knew that there was no way this could happen unless the Lord had mercy. And when you could see that, when that desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Now, it didn't say a breath of fresh air. It's a tree of life. It's not just something that passes. It's a tree of life. It's something that's alive. It's something that's continuing. It's something that's stable. It's something that will be there to provide fruit. A tree of life. That's the difference when the desire cometh. And so when the Lord blesses, and when we feel like the Lord has had mercy upon us and granted what we needed, it makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? And it's not something that's just a brief blessing, not just a breath of fresh air, but he says it's a tree of life. What a blessing that is. A difference between having lost hope and when the desire comes. How he changed. And bless your hearts, we have all the confidence in the world in our Lord. God is able. Sometimes we get caught up in our own experience and we wonder how things are going to be, but God is able. He can supply whatever the need is. As a matter of fact, Paul said, unto him who's able to do exceeding, abundantly above, all that we ask or think. Now, we can come up with some pretty far-fetched things, but God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Patience of hope. There's never a reason to give up on God. Now, if we have some expectation, it might not be God's will for that to come to pass, but there's never a reason to give up on God. If it's not his will for that to happen, he will eventually show us what his will is. But there's never reason to give up on God. Patience of hope. Peter speaks of his experience, 1 Peter chapter 5, as he's closing out, again, by the inspiration of the Spirit, but as the Spirit led Peter to close this book, 1 Peter 5, listen to what Peter says in verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Now, let's stop right there. If God has called us to his eternal glory, is there anything that's going to keep us from it? Is there anything? Now, you know, sometimes life gets frustrating, but nothing is going to keep that from coming to pass. When it's his will and his time, it's going to come to pass. All right? So right there, we can rest in that, can't we? So Peter says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus." Someday, heaven will be our home. And like Paul said in Romans 8, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Whatever the nature of the sufferings of this life might be, and sometimes they're tremendous, aren't they? Sometimes people really struggle for many years. And I wouldn't belittle that in the least. But to take that and compare it to eternity, Paul says it's not worthy to be compared. He's not saying it's not something that is formidable as far as this life is concerned, but it's not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. All right. So he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. See, Paul speaks about that patience of hope. And Peter says it this way, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, that is mature and complete, right? Not necessarily a sinless perfection, but mature and complete. After you suffered a while, make you perfect. Establish, strengthen, settle you. Isn't that what growing in grace does for us? Helps us to be more established. You know, established is the beginning of something, but established is the continuation of it. To be more stable. Continue to be stable, not be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, to be strong and growing in grace and settled in the things of God. Establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, I'm so thankful for what we understand about the finished work of Christ. It's beyond me that anybody would leave who has been blessed to understand the truth. Why they would leave the Primitive Baptist faith and go somewhere else. But I keep hearing different ones in our day leaving. It can't be for something better, as far as the truth is concerned. There may be some folks that are doing some good works, and there's times when some of these folks that do some good works outshine some of us in the Primitive Baptists. I understand that. But how can you leave the truth and sit under error just because of that? Peter speaks of this growth causing us to be more established, strengthened, and settled. That's what real growth is all about. Now, it needs to be accompanied by good works. Faith without works is dead. In other words, there's no evidence of life in your faith if there's no good works. But I just can't understand how someone can leave the truth as we know it for something else. What a blessing. I mean, it's by the grace of God that we even know it. It's by the grace of God that he's blessed us to see it. It wasn't mom and daddy, right? You know, the best friends that we have in the world, they're not capable of causing us, of opening our eyes to the truth. Only God can do that. Those to whom he has revealed himself to. Peter learned that early on, didn't he? The Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now, I brought that up just simply because we don't have anything to boast of. It's not because we're so smart. It's not because we're so strong. It's not because of anything in us. God had mercy upon us and blessed us by his grace to show us this glorious truth. May God help us to be established, strengthened, and settled in it. Patience of hope. These are the things, the work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. These are the things that Paul said he was remembering without ceasing. And just stop and think, what a difference that was for a people who had been worshiping idols. And now they've turned from that. Not just because there was some new thing going on and they wanted to be a Me Too part of it. No, this was genuine. God had blessed a mighty work to be done. They turned from idols to serve the one true and living God. And it wasn't just something for right now, because they were waiting for Jesus to come back. To me, that's a prescription for a healthy church. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, looking for Jesus to come back someday. That's what Paul said he was remembering without ceasing. You know, it's interesting. Paul makes mention of those three things: faith, love, and hope, several times. And just in closing, I just want to remind you of those times where Paul mentioned those three things. Because what caught my attention when I searched that out and saw that he mentioned it several times, you know, Ecclesiastes says a threefold cord, this is not quickly broken. Threefold cord is not quickly, is that right? Not easily broken. Those three things. By the way, let me pause right here. Some of you know that Sister Nancy and I love to learn about nutrition and the body. And the fibers in our, the way God has made these bodies, the collagen that's used to make the fibrous tissue in our body to hold everything together, bone, skin, everything. It's a threefold strand. I just thought that was so neat. Because the word says a threefold cord is not quickly or not easily broken. And that truth is borne out with what holds us together. That's neat. So Paul uses those three things. Look at later in this book, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. Paul says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, love, and hope. In 1 Corinthians 13, where he's talking about charity. I realize that's a different word, but it certainly is the same concept, isn't it? Love in action, charity. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, the last verse of the chapter. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Like our songwriter said, our faith and hope will end. In heaven we shall see. But charity will still live on in all eternity. That's true, isn't it? Colossians 1, verse 4. Colossians. Paul speaks to the church at Colossae, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we see several times these three things just seem like they come right along together, don't they? Faith, love, and hope. But as he said in the Corinthian letter, the greatest of these is charity. I'm so thankful that we have the example of the church at Thessalonica in the scriptures. I'm thankful for their testimony. I pray the Lord will bless us to have such a testimony as we go through this life. Work of faith, labor of love, patience, and hope. May God bless you is our prayer.